Welcome back, hopefully, to the Level One Coaching Podcast. Drew Carlson, Mikhail Bryan, you'll hear from next. You just spoke to a level 50 coach that started at level one. So we've talked about like the high velocity type. Anyway, you talked to a coach and just had a little bit of a conversation after a presentation that he did that you saw. So let me just open it up and ask, what were kind of your takeaways from that conversation with him?
Yeah, so he, his sort of main premise of the presentation that he gave down at the convention was about being what he calls higher brained. And higher brained is pretty, there's probably a lot of other ways you could frame it or a lot of other ways to describe it, but it's essentially someone who's calm under pressure, who is able to act and execute on things that they've wanted to do when there were no stakes and it was just talking about it or practice. They're able to do that in quote, like the heat of the moment. And they care most about excellence and success, not what people think of them. And they're convicted in what they're doing. And they kind of, they take that mentality to everything they do, and it allows them to enjoy whatever it is that they're doing, whether it's coaching. I guess, you know, you could take this to any walk of life. And so that was the main premise of his presentation. And for me, it resonated with me because he kind of gave examples of like when you're operating in what he calls lower brain state, your lower brain, you're stressed, you get angered easily, you're fearful, you don't want to make mistakes. You're afraid to lose. You don't want to lose what you have. You're reactive. I think that's a very common phase to find your, not phase, but it's a very common feeling to have as a player or a coach. As a player, you don't want to make mistakes, so you get stressed out when you do, and you get afraid to make the next one. And as he would say, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and you make more. And as a coach, I think the very similar thing happens. Like you a lot of times you find yourself in situations in games where, you know, say you're down 1-0, you get risk averse. You're like, we can't go down 2-0 already. That's going to be bad. And then the flip side, like you're up 2-0 and you're like, we can't let them back in this game. We can't let them score a goal. And so you find yourself always operating from this standpoint of like, we have something to lose and we can't let it get any worse than it already is. Even if you're up in the game or you're up in a series for, you know, playoffs, you're up two games and nothing, kind of like the Rangers were to the Devils. It's like, all right, just don't let them come back. And as he would say, like a lot of times those are self-fulfilling prophecies and you kind of speak them into existence. And it's not that you as a coach literally go in the locker room and say, we can't let this happen. Okay, guys. And then it happens. It's more like your actions are being dictated from this lower brain state where you're afraid to lose. And so the way you handle yourself on the bench, the way you handle yourself, the pregame skate, the day before the game, all those things, it's a little bit different than it usually is or than it has been in the past. And the players pick up on that. Like they're just like coaches where they're intuitive and they've been around a coach long enough to know what he normally operates like and what he's operating like when he's stressed out. So those are kind of a general overview of higher brain and lower brain. I'll throw it back over to you because I don't want to keep going on and on, but that was kind of the main theme of his presentation and then what we talked about afterwards.
Yeah. So like what resonates with me, I'm reading a ton on some different kind of concepts with emotional states and just like attention and energy and how they're linked together. But like a couple different things, like where attention goes, energy flows is like one way to think of that. And then the other thing that I just read, honestly, last night, so it's incredible timing, but like what you fear is what you get. And when you're in those like lower emotional states of whether it's fear, resentment, anger, and you're not in the elevated states of like gratitude, joy, what have you, you attract, again, what you fear. So if you're radiating energy at that like fear frequency or doubt frequency, that's eventually, again, what the players pick up on, what the players then attune to you, and then that's what you get. So super timely there with just kind of some stuff that I've been reading and studying on. If you have any thoughts on that, if you want to build on that at all.
Yeah, it's actually funny you bring up the word fear, because he brought up that when he works with different individual athletes, mainly hockey players, and then teams as well. And he's a coach in the DEL himself, so he's got a full-time job coaching in general, but he also works with players and teams on the side. And he brought up, like, when he's working with women's teams, he uses the word being vulnerable, because that resonates with the women's players a lot more than men's. Men tend to view that word as like being soft or not.
Sure.
They don't want to be vulnerable. So he uses fearless with men's teams. Just funny that you bring that up. And what he kind of says is like, you need to show your players that you can be competent but fearless. And this creates psychological safety. So an example he gives is like, you make a mistake as a coach, like whatever it is. Maybe you tried to do the wrong thing and that you called a timeout or you pulled a goalie at the wrong time. It could be very nuanced within the game. It could be a bigger thing. Like, you really thought that adjusting your forecheck the week of this first playoff game was really going to help, and it just totally didn't. And afterwards, like, he says, taking accountability but being fearless with that. And he's like, you know, you want to be competent, and if you're taking accountability for mistakes that aren't truly yours, or that, like, if you're constantly saying, sorry, I screwed up, you're going to show that you're not competent. So you need to show your competence in order to do this. But once you've shown your competence, being fearless about holding yourself accountable, because this shows the players that this is a psychologically safe place to make a mistake in. And I am not going to be immediately benched, cut, traded, whatever it might be, because I made a mistake. And so he's like, you lead with yourself. Like, that's how you handle your own mistakes, is taking accountability for them and being fearless in front of the team. And then when it comes to, you know, an example he gave is like, in the game, a guy makes a mistake. And I love this, because this is something that I started trying maybe like a year or two ago, just because I found that when I told a player something, there was pushback. But if I asked him a question and he answered it exactly how I probably would have told him anyways, there was no pushback, because he felt like he got the answer out himself. He beat me to the punch. And that was another guy that I used to work for in the past would always do this. So I kind of took that from him. But the guy I was speaking to yesterday said the same exact thing. Like, so guy comes off the ice, makes a mistake. Let's say he had an opportunity to just simply advance the puck through the neutral zone, and he tried to beat a guy one-on-one, didn't work, pinned in the zone, 40 seconds, comes off the ice after a long D-zone shift that really was avoidable. And you could jump down his throat and be like, what the hell was that? Why would you do that? You're an idiot. You almost cost us the game. Like, take a seat. Or you could be like, hey, like, what was that? What were you thinking there? And he said 9 times out of 10, like, the player's going to be way more self-critical than you were. And they're probably going to critique themselves in a lot harsher words than you were going to use. So ideally, and most of the time, the player does exactly that. And you're like, yeah, sounds good. You're right. And usually the player ends with like, I know I can't do that and whatever. And it's like, all right. And that just showed to the whole team on the bench, you can make a mistake here. Coach isn't going to rip your head off or send you to the locker room and shut you down for the day. He's going to hold you accountable. He's going to be ruthless with it, but he's not going to murder you on the spot. And then say, you know, he gave the example, say the player makes the same mistake or another mistake the next shift. All right. Now you might have to sit him. Now you might have to be like, look, we can't have that anymore. I'm going to get you back in a little bit, but you're going to take a seat for a bit now. And it creates an environment. Like, I think what I really liked about it is that, like, we, I think as coaches, not even in hockey, just like in general, talk a lot about psychological safety and making players feel like they can make mistakes, be honest, be transparent, all that stuff. We talk a lot about that in the confines of like the film room or the meeting room that you meet with the team. We don't talk about a lot about like what that looks like on the ice or on the court, on the field. And it's more than just saying, this is a safe space where you can talk to us and you can express how you feel, come to my office, come to the team room, whatever it is. This is like on the ice during the game and on the bench, you're creating an environment where your players can make a mistake, can be held accountable for the mistake, and can learn next time around, this is how I should do it, and this is what could be better, without ever being, quote, an asshole or a hard ass. You're getting that same accountability and that same learning opportunity without screaming at anyone or ripping them apart. So I really, that all worked back to your point of what you fear is what you get, and his idea of being competent but fearless. I think competent but fearless allows you to be ruthlessly accountable, as he refers to it.
Yeah, I think what resonates and what I kind of want to jump off on there is you said, like, and I also see it, so and I think he obviously sees it too, but the biggest thing that I pull on there is the environments of whether your biggest thing is player development, whether your biggest thing is just human development, whether it's completely holistic, and what you're trying to do, whatever it is, or like, it just has to be aligned everywhere. And you mentioned rooms, like it has to be aligned in every room. So if in the film room, you're asking questions and you're patient and you're compassionate and you're trying to like gain an understanding of what the player saw and talk through things. And then on the bench, if something happens in a game, you're just like, sit down. Like, that's going to be this mismatch. And like, when you're mismatched in the expectation or what you think is going to happen because it just happened in the film room this way, I think all frustration, whether it's from the player towards you as a coach or from you as a coach towards the player, it works in both directions. But the mismatch is what creates the frustration and the headaches and the reason that you sit in the coach's office and bitch to your assistant coach that this player's not listening or this player's not listening. But if you can peel all the way back, zoom out, and get out of, like, if you're really emotional on the bench during a game and you're patient in practice, if you can zoom out and realize all that, like, that's when you're going to start seeing incongruencies in yourself. And then you're going to be like, okay, this is why the players do seem frustrated. And this is why I am hearing this from my leadership group, because maybe I don't realize it in the heat of the moment. And like, a lot of coaches turn into complete buffoons when the puck drops and it's 5-on-5 and there are refs on the ice. And I think like, that's the biggest thing, that I resonate with what you said. And a lot of like the trouble that I faced as a player, because like there was mismatches with coaches that I had. And like, again, keeping user experience in mind, that's ultimately the most important thing as a coach, if you want to add anything to that.
I think what you're saying and the way I view it is like, players want, they're no different than coaches in the sense that players want to know where they stand and what to expect. And so if, as a coach, if one day you ask your team to play high flying, like the Soviets in the 80s or whatever. And then the next day you want them to be playing like Devils in 2002. And they're not going to know what to expect. Like, they're like, one day we play super high flying offensive, we can freewheel and do whatever we want. And the next day, like, we're sitting back with three across the blue and we're not even allowed to play in the O-zone. Players just want to have some consistency and some predictability. And it's no different than us as coaches. Like, what is one thing that we always want from our team? A consistent effort. You just want to know that since you can't be on the ice and you're just on the bench, you want to know that your team can bring a consistent effort every game you play. If you can do that, you can deal with the mistakes. You can deal with the slouching power play or the penalty kill that's not doing well or the goaltending that stinks for that stretch. Like, you can deal with that as long as the effort's there. And so I think as players, like, or sorry, as coaches, like, we want to create an environment, like you said, where like all the rooms match. So if you can talk about things in the film room, it means you need to be able to talk about them on the bench. It means you also need to be able to talk about them on the bus after the game. It's hard to do. Like, I mean, honestly, like I struggle with it. Like, it's hard to like be in the game on the bench and you have a guy that you just talk to them about X, Y, and Z thing during the week. And then they go out and do it again. And you're like, oh my, like, I'm up to here with this because we talked about it 3 days ago and 2 days ago and 1 day ago and before the game. And now we're in the game and we're seeing it. And you get in what this lower brain state is all about. You get in that state where now you're like, I don't want to lose. I'm stressed out. I'm fearful. I don't want to put him out there because I'm afraid he's going to make the same mistake. And that's something I can prevent. And you get reactionary. And so I think it's one of the hardest things to do as a coach, like, to not allow yourself to go there and to be like higher brain dominant. And hearing, you know, talking with him yesterday, he's like, he's devoted the last like five or six years of his life to this. And he said to me, like, I'm still very much lower brain dominant. Like, I have a long way to go still. And I thought to myself in that moment, like, okay, if you have a long way to go, I've got light years to go, because you've devoted so much of your life to this now, teaching it, implementing it in your own life, and you still feel like you're dominated by your lower brain, than like someone like myself who's never devoted any time to really practicing this. I got to be lower brain dominant too. There's no way I'm not. So it's like, if you're, you know, anyone that's listening to this, like, this is about you. It's about all of us. It's not specific to a coach in pro versus a coach in college versus a coach in U16. Like, in some ways or in many ways, we all operate under these kind of pretenses where we don't want to lose and we are fearful to lose what we have. It's a natural occurrence. So finding a way to, like you said, be consistent in all rooms, it's going to create a better environment for the players. It's going to create a better environment for you as a coach too. And ultimately, like, you're going to have a better opportunity to be higher brain dominant, or you're going to move the needle towards that area just a little bit.